At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome, everybody, to the Minimap Cast. This is minimap.com.au's weekly games podcast, your favorite weekly games podcast. My name is Kerry Palmer, and joining me live from Sydney, Australia, it's Jeremy Braditich.
The far and distant land that is central, or the right-hand side of New South Wales.
Yeah, coastal New South Wales, that's right. Yeah. You're in there, you're out there in the bay.
I can see the Opera House. No, I can't see the Opera House right now. I've seen the Opera House. I've seen the bridge. I went on a submarine yesterday. It's been a wild and so far relatively uneventful trip because yeah. I've been here for like a day and a bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, relatively uneventful is good. You did talk about one event, but we don't have to hash over that. I'm glad that the rest of it was uneventful.
I've changed hotels very soon after getting to the first one because of some unsavory characters, and got like 85 to 90% of my money back from the first place.
I
had to pay for one night, which is fine. It's fine. And I'm in a better hotel with better security, and just much nicer clientele who I don't see ever or hear, more importantly.
But yes, I mean, it's fine. And your room doesn't smell like cigarette smoke.
And my room doesn't smell like cigarette smoke, which is good. It's the little things in life. The ability to breathe air.
It's the little things. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, what do they say? The fundamentals. What do you need? You need shelter. I think that's it, right? That's all you need for the fundamentals?
Yeah, that's it. The shelter and cigarette smoke are the two fundamentals, is my understanding.
Jeremy, we are not only are you live from Sydney, but we're also doing things differently because normally we do this from your computer when we record the podcast and stream the podcast.
Yes.
So instead what we're doing is we're streaming from my computer, and that means that I had to build a new version of our scene and our setup.
There is one thing I forgot to do before I left, and it was send Kerry the scene for a Fromobius.
Yeah.
And
which ended
I figured
up being fine.
It's fine. And I ended up remembering that somewhere in between Melbourne and Sydney. Like, I was in the air, and I'm like, I forgot that, didn't I?
Yeah, totally. And it's because, like, when you asked me that, it was also like, getting me to look at your GoGo Town preview, and I was telling you I was on the train, and then we were talking about James Corden and Bobby Kotick, which was really upsetting. So like it was a whole thing.
Yeah, there's been a lot of moving parts over the past couple months.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm putting it all together like this, it's been fine. There's a couple of things. We're not going to have background music in the break and whatever, but the biggest difference is that the overlay screen for the video is a much older version of our overlay. It's serviceable, but it's fine. But also, like, I'm missing a couple of the, like, end scenes and the middle scenes. I'm not going to have the chat widget in the middle, so we just got it up and running. But the recording's great. I nailed the audio mix. I hope I really did nail the audio mix, because if I've said that and I haven't, that will be very embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I see the bars. They're looking good. It's good. So with all that in mind, we are going to keep this as a short podcast. It took me about an hour to build the scene, which is a little longer than I thought. So we have a hard out. Jeremy's going to an event today. Why he's in Sydney, which we didn't even mention.
I'm here as a part of South by Southwest. I've got my thing. I'll just cover the QR code just because I don't know what's on. It's got my name. It's got Minimap.
Got Minimap. That's sick.
They printed this for me as I picked it up. It's made out of paper, which I don't super love. imagine spending $1,900 on a piece of paper. I did not spend that. I got media accreditation.
No, you just spent the flights and accommodation.
Flights and one point two accommodation.
Yeah.
I'm going to be checking out a lot of the game stuff. There's a lot of games going to be around, and there are a lot of different little gaming events that are happening around the thing. But tonight I'm going to see the queer liberation film The People's Joker in a cinema, which is exciting considering that movie has been not really allowed to be shown at certain cinemas based on copyright infringement.
What do you mean DC never gave them the rights?
Yeah, right. But it's awesome. I'm so excited to see it. And tomorrow evening, I'll be able to see Troy Baker perform live in the middle of Fortress Sydney.
Yes, in the middle of Fortress.
Yeah, like they've got a stage. So
you can sit
there
sipping energy drinks.
Yeah, I have to have some Prime while I listen to Joel Miller. No. He'll be performing this this part of the Stray Gods.
Yeah.
Songs from Stray Gods the musical,
and not alone, right? He's there with a couple of other people, I think.
Yes, I'm not super familiar with who else is there, but like there's also more than one game that I think is having a little bit of a live performance. So
yeah, that seems great. That seems fun. It's very exciting that Minimap is there a part of that as well for the first South by Southwest Sydney. Look out on the website for coverage that Jeremy gets to get ready during the week, and no doubt we will talk about it next week, although depending on how much we want to talk about Mario or Spider-Man 2, it may get squeezed out, who knows. Or maybe it'll be like half an hour.
I think that's probably more likely.
Yeah,
half an hour.
But
because like I'll be doing previews and stuff while I'm here as well, because there was a bunch of games that weren't at PAX that will be here, and a bunch of games that I've deliberately like put low in the priority list because they were also going to be here that were at PAX, so I will be able to see them here as well.
Exactly. So yeah, keep your eye out on the website, on the socials when we post new articles. That'll all go up there. But that's during this week. Let's talk about this past week. Obviously, last week we were at PAX. We were talking about that last weekend, and then this last week was the time where we weren't at PAX and you weren't at South by Southwest yet. Now, unfortunately, let me get through the intro. We'll get through the intro, and this is going to be a shorter episode because Jeremy's got a hard out in 50 minutes. So we'll get you out before then. But we're just basically going to talk about what we've been playing, probably do whatever. So let's do the intro. Everyone, if you're not familiar, this is the Minimap Cast. This is minimap.com.au's weekly games podcast. The Minimap Cast goes live on all podcast platforms every Wednesday, with 24 hours of early access given to all of our wonderful patrons. More on that in just a second. If you like what you're hearing, thank God we made it that far that you could hear and enjoy what you're hearing. Thank you for staying with us. Glad we could get it together for you. Make sure to tell your friends and give the show a positive rating wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's normally considerably more together than this, but no less together than this, it turns out. But yeah, if you give us a positive rating, it helps out, makes a huge difference, and it only takes a couple of seconds. If you want to get notified every time a new episode is released, like I said, we tend to post stuff on the socials. For Minimap, that is at MinimapAU on all of the accounts. That's Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Blue Sky, and also Twitch, where we are live every Monday night, usually 7:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time for the live recording of the Minimap Cast. We always hang out with the chat before, during, and after, and it's always a good time. We'd like to say thank you to Shook for letting us use the Moog Model D Improv as the music for the Minimap Cast. You can listen to more of Shook's music at shook.bandcamp.com. And finally, Minimap is completely independent and funded almost entirely out of our own pockets. So if you'd like to help keep the mics and lights on, you can support us by becoming one of our patrons. For only $5 a month, you get 24 hours of early access for all episodes of the Minimap Cast, plus some extra bonus features. We are going to be recording some more stuff on that, but it'll be after Jeremy gets back from Sydney, and then maybe another week because he also just moved and doesn't even have a fridge yet. So once Jeremy's got a fridge, we'll start recording some Patreon content, and you can find all of that over on patreon.com/minimapau. And remember, to sign up to Minimap on Patreon, it's cheaper than a latte with oat milk. Jeremy, they introduced a new feature on Patreon that you and I have been talking about. I'll mention it here. They've added a new thing in the Patreon mobile app where you can message creators, and it's kind of like a big, it's like a big group chat with the creator and anyone who is a patron who wants to talk to the creator and anyone else who is in the chat, any other patrons. Speaking of Shook, you're a Patreon subscriber to Shook.
I thought you were going to say something that was going to be incorrect, which is like, and so if you want to chat to us, make sure, because I was going to say, we haven't enabled that. Like that is not enabled on
our Patreon. I was leaning into that, but I'm glad I didn't go there first.
Yeah, because like that's an opt-in thing we have not opted into, because I do not want to do that realistically.
Oh, but Trevor, what if we did that? We might get like two more Patreon subscribers and increase our subscriber base by 150%.
If you want to chat to us, you can just join us on our Discord if you wanted to chat
to us. Hey, we've got a Discord. You can find that on the website.
But yeah, no, I'm in Shook's all chat, which is good fun. He's contemplating buying a robot in Japan, which is like, I think the thing that you have to do if you're there.
Yep.
So.
The thing I loved was when it started, you were saying it was completely empty except for you and him, so you just had DMs.
Well, because I joined about 5 minutes after he launched it, because I got a push notification sent to my phone, and so I was like, oh yeah, fuck, whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's just him and I, because you can see the user list, and it was literally just like Shook, Jeremy. I'm like, hey Shook.
Oh hi, well, how you doing there? That's interesting. Yeah. So yeah, we're basically just gonna talk about what we've been playing. Do you want to? I think we should start with El Paso Elsewhere, because I'm very keen to hear about it and know not that much about it. I'm going to be talking about Assassin's Creed Mirage, but that game's been out for like nearly 2 whole weeks now.
You could play it at PAX, like, but in a not an early fashion.
Yeah, exactly. You could play it at PAX at like PLE computers.
Yeah.
The same way you could play Destiny 2 in 2017.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've played some El Paso Elsewhere. This game is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
It's
had a good buzz.
Yeah. And it's worthy of that buzz as well. Especially considering the amount of noise that has come out of the Games Week and just the world over the past few weeks and months and seemingly years. El Paso Elsewhere is a third-person shooter with like a lo-fi, low-poly-ish aesthetic where you are like killing vampires, kind of, but they're not all vampires. They're just like gothic creatures, because you're hunting Dracula. Who is your ex-girlfriend.
Oh, nice.
Because she's going to destroy the world as it is. It is made from the developer of the Space Organ Trader. I just want to double check that. Space Organ Trader.
I'm looking it up now as well. I want to see what its time to beat is, because I'm hearing it's not too long, which is good.
Yeah, it's not too long. I've put about 4 hours into it, or 3 or 4 hours into it. It is from the developers of Space Warlord Organ Trading Simulator is actually what the name of it is.
That's very funny.
Yeah, right? Strange Scaffold is the name of the studio, whose developer you might know is Xavier Nelson.
He had tweets popping off about the Baldur's Gate recently.
He's always got tweets popping off. He's very, very, very good. Really good follow.
Professional tweet pop-offerer.
Yeah. He actually came to GCAP last year, which was cool.
Nice.
So the hook of this game, the two things that make it really, really awesome are the fact that the gameplay is centered around Max Payne ass bullet time, which is so cool, so rad.
Yes.
It's like just like jumping in any direction, firing your guns in slow-mo, all that stuff. and incredible, like, narrative presentation direction in cutscenes, which is elevated by an incredible incredible voice acting. The kind of voice acting that is, I think, more games should lean into, which is sort of like this, like, pulp kind of, like, it's a bit corny, but, like, it's good corny. Like, everybody's in on the corn fest that is, you know, like, you know, the kind of thing that you would expect from, like, the kind of thing you'd expect from an 80s film. It is really, really fun. I'm having a fucking blast playing it. Like, the levels are structured in a way where you enter the level and you have to save hostages that are around the level by just going up to them and just holding down a button. But you can't, as far as I'm aware, you can't kill the hostages. There's no, like, fail state with, like, oh, you didn't get there in time. Work at the maze, hit all the points, and then make your way all the way back to the start. The levels are kind of, they exist in another realm in a way, where, like, it's just like the actual physical levels are kind of floating in space and there's no roof, which also means that you can peek over the walls to have a look at the level that's ahead of you. And that's not breaking it, and that's not exactly, like, encouraged, but it's not, like, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. And you've got different weapons, like, you know, two pistols or a shotgun or, like, an assault rifle, and you get more and more weapons as you go through. It is just so fucking cool. It is unbelievably cool. It is one of those games where, like there was such a strong singular vision that has just been executed on so well. Like, I just kind of am having a blast the entire time while I'm playing it.
Yeah, nice.
And subject matter included, it reminds me a lot, in a good way, of the first Blade movie. The Wesley Snipes Blade movie. Because, like, you know, like, there's a lot of similarity just with, you know, like, you're a black person with machine guns going through, like, what is seemingly, sometimes a lot of showers, shooting vampires. Like, that's what the Blade movie looked like. Mm-hmm. But, like, also in some of its, like, campy corniness, which is also really good. Like, when I say it's a lot like the first Blade movie, that is, like, just nothing but a positive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really fucking good.
Yeah, awesome. I'm looking at its Metacritic, you know, which, you know, is kind of a metric with which to, you know, have with, like, consider it with a grain of salt, as always. But just on its number alone, it's got an 81 on Metacritic, which puts it above a lot of the big releases from this last week, being Assassin's Creed Mirage, Lords of the Fallen, and Sonic Superstars, which is fascinating because those are all sitting in the mid-70s or lower. It does sound like something that, like, even if it doesn't have the polish of, like, a Ubisoft game with an open world that's so large and has X many collectibles and it's the most realistic Baghdad you've ever seen in a video game and all of that, like, it's got that direction and that, by the sounds of it, it's got that direction and I guess that's it, the direction that is making it, letting it go for something new and interesting and unique and
like
say something.
Like, it feels fresh. It feels like it was made by some people that, like, are definitely sort of, like, sitting at the top of their game. They know what they wanted to make. They wanted a game that was, at its gameplay, like, level, fundamentally based around, like, the singular mechanic of just, like, what if another game had bullet time? Like, that's a good thing. Because, like, enough games have this, right? So it's like, yeah, like, what if we make time?
Oh, sorry, you just cut out there. What was that? What if we what?
Sorry, it's like, what if we made a game that was, like, at its gameplay level, fundamentally around bullet time, because there aren't enough of those, and wrapped a really cool, like, vampire end-of-the-world story around it, And just sort of gave you more and more weapons throughout the campaign that allow you to do bullet time in different ways. And level designs that also like complement that. Like there's like, you know, there's like, oh, there's a bunch of glass there. It's actually bulletproof, but you can jump through it.
Yeah.
And so they just encourage you to do that over and over again. Or like, hey, there's a specific, like wall. There's a wall that at a specific height rather, which is you can leap over that and bullet time over it as opposed to just jumping over it.
Mm-hmm.
So they push you to do that a fair bit, because it's just awesome every single time.
Yeah. Nice. So, what were you playing that on? Like, are you playing that while you're away, or will you have to wait to get back?
I was playing that on the Xbox before I left.
Okay, cool. So, is that going to be the first thing you boot up when you get home, do you reckon?
Look, it'll be tough.
It's a tough time, but like...
Yeah, because I'm going to be here while Mario Wonder and Spider-Man both come out.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I'll,
okay.
I will get to it before the end of the year. And I'm only halfway through. So, and it'll be one more play session and probably beat it. So like, I will get to it, if not by the time I come back. Sorry, if not immediately after coming back, like within the next week and a half, because it's like, I'm going to sit down and play through the rest of it.
Yeah, sort of and game. Enjoy it.
yeah, totally. It's fucking good.
Yep. Fair enough. No, I need to get it. How much is it?
Let me have a quick squiz. $23 or something. More than happy enough.
Yeah, $20 US on Steam. What's the conversion to? Yeah, $30 here on Steam.
Yeah,
in Australian dollars.
Yeah, like it runs well with a controller as well.
Yeah, cool.
Like I can see myself maybe being better at it with a mouse and keyboard, but also like with a controller, it's totally fucking fine. Yeah.
totally. Yeah, like Max Payne combat isn't like Call of Duty or Doom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, sweet. I'll see if I get time to play that before the end of the year.
yeah. It's really good. I hope you can.
Yeah, me too. I was this close to loading up Cocoon yesterday, but I played some Apex with friends instead because I haven't played with them in ages.
Yeah, Cocoon is another one I really want to get to.
Yeah, a similar length, I think, 6 to 8 hours or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did have
notes on this game, but I can't remember where the fuck I put them.
Oh, El Paso.
Yeah, because like there was a couple of quotes that I wrote down, which I was like, this is really fucking good.
Mm.
And I just, for the life of me, cannot remember where I put them.
Classic. Yeah. I do that. Do you do the thing where you open like the Docs app on your phone and you just hit new document and you just start writing? Like, and who knows where the hell it ends up? or like if you give it a name or...
Well, if I do that, it's usually in my most recent, but like it's not there at all. Mm. So I don't know where I put it.
Right.
Annoying.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I don't have any notes on Assassin's Creed before going into it, so you're in good company, I guess. let's talk a bit about Assassin's Creed Mirage. It's been interesting. So I was doing some work on this game, so I was playing it before launch. I've put in about 20 hours into the game. Not all of that directly into progression. Some of that was like reloading saves to get footage and whatever, but you know, roughly like 16, 17 hours in a normal save outside of work or like just normal play. But it's been fascinating seeing the reception of it coming out because people are saying, oh, it's a return to form. People are saying, oh, they haven't changed enough. People are saying, you know, this is really re-inspired me and re-inspired my love of Assassin's Creed. And others are saying Ubisoft is circling the drain. Like, there's such a... It is, like, kind of divisive, but not in, like, a fives and tens kind of way, but in, like, a six and eights kind of a way.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
As someone who didn't vibe with the RPG style Assassin's Creeds as much as I vibed with the old school style Assassin's Creed games, which was quite a lot. I'm quite a fan of Assassin's Creed 2, all of the Ezio games. I like Assassin's Creed 3. I've played that through multiple times. I've 100%ed Assassin's Creed 4. I 100%ed Syndicate. I really like those older ones. I mean, Syndicate's a bit like, eh, whatever. But, you know, and you know what I mean. While I enjoyed Origins and Odyssey, I never finished Odyssey. I never really engaged with its story or what it was trying to say or do, which was far too much. And Valhalla I bounced off of in 2 or 3 hours. And that game is 150 hours long, and I didn't even engage with it in the first sitting, you know? So,
yeah.
For me, Mirage is a welcome return to the old style of Assassin's Creed. I do see where the critiques are coming from when people say it isn't necessarily doing that much to tell a new type of gameplay story with its mechanics, with its time away, with its time. Even since Valhalla, it's been 3 years, and it still very much feels like you could have told me that this game came out 1 year after Valhalla and I'd believe you. It's come out 3 years after Valhalla and it's like, and that's also fine, but it doesn't necessarily feel like it's been 8 years since the last traditional Assassin's Creed game and here's the result, you know, because that's not what they were working on for 8 years. They were working on Valhalla for 2 of those years after it released, and Mirage in the background, and
they've got 3 more coming. Like they've had this, they've got Red, and they've got that other one.
They've got the mobile one and the VR one.
And the platform. They've got Assassin's Creed Infinite or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Assassin's Creed continues to wade through its identity crisis.
A duck.
with mixed results, yes, like a duck.
Yeah.
I guess. however, that is not to say that Mirage is not a good game. I really enjoy it. I really like it. I love that I'm back to a game where you're not constantly getting gear with Destiny, like WoW tier loot system. There's no damage numbers, there's no player and enemy levels. Like
none of these words are in the Bible.
I guess. It's like, I'm so glad that they did go back and took it as far back as they did, where you can assassinate basically anyone from a hiding spot, so long as they're not as, like, a... There's, like, one, like, elite assassin who comes at you when you're at, like, max wanted level, and you can't assassinate them. And they're the only ones who won't die to your hidden blade if you get them. Like, I just... That was so annoying when they introduced that in Origins, where it was like, oh, I got the drop on them and it dropped their health to half and now I'm just in a fight. It was like, why did I even bother? but stealth is here. The combat is fairly simple, but they didn't make it so that all the enemies take turns. They don't take turns. They'll fuck you up all at once if you get them all like off sync, which means that combat is really dangerous. If you upset a whole garrison, they're going to be shooting arrows at you, multiple people. That one of them's going to be a heavy one who's got armor that you can't hit through the front, and there's going to be like 4 soldiers trying to stab you at once, and it's really hard to deal with. So it really helps to incentivize that increased emphasis on stealth that they've brought back with this game. You've got an excellent toolkit. You know, it's a lot of usual suspects. You've got throwing knives, smoke bombs, noisemakers and stuff like that, but you don't start out with many of them, and the stronger you get, it's not really like an increased health pool kind of thing. You get skill points, so you get like a few more different ways that you can like do like a double assassination or something like that. But really, the evolution of your kit and the more competent you become it's kind of in direct correlation with how big your tool belt becomes, how many of those stealth tools you have access to at any one time, because then you have even more options to infiltrate a base without getting spotted, to have a bit more ammo without getting spotted. It's been really fun. Also, the size of the world is perfect for me. I love it. Like, I can be a little bit thorough and go here and go there, and I'll be like, oh, wow, I nearly finished this whole district. And there's like, oh, there's 3 or 4 of those left. And that only took me like an hour or two. And if I did that for another 3 or 4 hours, then I'd have done nearly all of the side collectible stuff. And that's fine. You know what I mean? That's okay.
That's A-okay.
And then I could go finish the game and be done with the game, and that's good. As opposed to, like, did you ever reach a point in Odyssey where you're like, you probably weren't playing it like I did, but did you ever reach a point where you were doing quests and you were like, wait, this is just like that other one I did like an hour ago, where I go to some person who's on a beach by the camp and they're like, go get me some grapes. And you go there and there's like a bear, and then you take out the bear and they're like, here are your grapes. And you're like, thank you. And then turns out Odyssey had like generative quests that never ended, like that always kept generating.
No, because if I'm not enjoying something, I stop doing it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I thought that was the case. But yeah, like having things reward you for what they give you, and then like that's over. Like, it's not radical, but it is welcome.
Oh, we're so fucking done as like as an industry. It's so over.
Yeah, it's not great. I think for me, I don't know what happens next for Assassin's Creed, because this game didn't light the world on fire. I think it's done well enough in sales. I think honestly what it's shown me is that Assassin's Creed needs to very regularly take more than a year to release games. I think it should always take more than 1 year to release its games going forward. I would say minimum 2 year release cycle for Assassin's Creed. It does not need to be yearly, especially if they're going to be those juggernaut style games. And honestly, even if they're this size, just give them to me every 2 years, because then the people who got sick of them aren't going to be as sick of them. They'll do well enough and they'll be able to go a bit further, and they give the developers a bit more time to create something and do something fascinating with it. I don't know. You looked like you wanted to say something there, Jeremy.
I got some bad news about when Assassin's Creed Red, I think, is planning to come out.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, have we heard rumors on that?
Next year.
I hate that. Yeah. I hate that, but I'm not surprised, because, you know, it's one of Ubisoft's most reliable things these days. It's got a lot of strengths, despite its I guess run of the mill qualities. It's retrod qualities. For example, Baghdad is especially well realized. I mean, the locations and settings in Assassin's Creed games have always been quite well realized. They've done a terrific job here in Baghdad, though. Like when you're walking the streets, it's not like the letdown that was Assassin's Creed Unity, where everyone's speaking like posh English as opposed to French. Although I think some of the NPCs spoke a bit of French, but like, you know, everyone's either speaking Arabic, and then if you've got the English set, they're talking with Arabic accents, which is perfect. You could play the whole thing in Arabic, which is great as well, because I've heard they've done it in such a way with that localization where they include like Arabic sayings that aren't like direct translations. Like, yeah, it's really authentic. There's authentic like for the period street music happening at the time, and just the way that the architecture is so beautiful and so varied. And also, I didn't feel once like I was walking around a generated city. Like, you know how you could kind of feel that in all of the older ones in like Assassin's Creed 2, even through 4 and Unity, where it's like, okay, they put this type of house here and then that one and then that one and that one, and you can kind of see the seams. I'm sure that's here, but you notice it far less, and it actually feels quite lived in. You know, you can turn off the main street and then you're in like a rundown alley with like a sewer running through it, and there's like kids that are playing in the streets, but like, they're kind of in like ratty clothes and they're playing in the sewer, which would actually be like sewerage. Like, it's kind of dirty and gross, and it's like, oh, it feels like a real lived in detail part of the city. And it's just off the main road, and then you can keep going a little bit further down and you find yourself at the bazaar, and there's rug merchants and there's food merchants and all that kind of thing. It's really gorgeous. It is unfortunately probably the best of the art, in that most of it is worse than the environment art. The characters are fine, the effects are fine, but everything's fairly stiff by modern comparisons.
Right.
It's serviceable, though. I don't hate it.
Sure.
But yeah, there's something really gratifying about having a palatably sized, stealth-focused Assassin's Creed game. It's what I love about the series. It's why I loved the series in the first place. And we got it back again. And maybe it's the last time. I doubt it will be, because they'll probably see the sales and they'll try and make it work again somehow. And be like, oh, people loved when we went back to it. Let's re-go back to it. I was like, what? That's not going to work. You got to develop it, guys. But
Let's remake 2 again.
Yeah, but while also pushing in this RPG format, like, they need to do one or the other. They need to leave the old style behind, or they need to go back and keep it and work with it and iterate on it and evolve it.
A question about returning and leaving and returning and leaving and returning. The Assassin's Creed baggage.
Mm.
Which is maybe not a bad episode title. The modern day stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Go on.
Does it I have no idea what it is in this game, because every game seemingly changes it, right? You know, like, for a long time it was like, you know, we're telling the story of Desmond and his cohort, yada yada yada, and they'll sort of do like 1/8 of the game in hours wise, but like, you know, 1/4 story wise will be related to the modern day stuff, and then as the turn of the console generation came around,
and after it was they less killed Desmond,
yeah, there was less and less, and then to the point where sometimes you don't even see it at all. What's the go here?
This is the least modern day involved Assassin's Creed game there ever has been,
right?
Excluding maybe a mobile title or whatever.
Sure.
You know when you assassinate a target and you go into that like dream sequence that looks like the Animus like white room,
yeah,
which was always confusing because it's like Ezio's having the conversation, but it's in like a Animus dream sequence, so it's present day, but it's that never made any sense.
The way I always saw that was that you like there was not enough being paid attention to by the assassin at that point, because the assassin was so intrinsically looking at the target, and so there was less to render.
Yeah.
Or that they were putting all of the information on capturing everything all at once, and there was too much computer processing to handle anything that was surrounding it.
I love that. That's cool.
Like that doesn't exist in the... Like, that's never said.
No, that's headcanon.
That was just my interpretation of that.
I love that. That sounds awesome. That sounds like why Assassin's Creed modern day stuff was cool, you know?
I enjoy the effect of that.
Yeah.
It's like bringing the stage lights all the way in to someone delivering a monologue in the middle of a war. Like,
Yeah, like a stage play. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So that kind of happens here, but that like Animus White Room thing is now just like this like sandy, ethereal, like dream plane thing that Basim is in like all the time. Well, he's not in all the time, but he goes to that plane in his dreams because he has like this dream of being attacked by nightmares, and he's got some connection with like the ancient race that you would discover in Valhalla. I haven't gone to the end of this game, so I don't know what that's about. But that's not news. That's part of Valhalla. This is his prequel story, so that's not news. But what that means is when you do that, I assume Animus sequence of you doing the thing, it's like, oh, but then he like looks around and no, this is Basim's experience. That was what he lived at the time. So that's actually not an Animus dream sequence. That's him. That's how he experienced that moment. That's like a literal memory. So then it's like, okay, so that's not Animus. When you die, you desynchronized, but you're it's over and out in a second. And then when you're loading, you're in that same dream plane rather than an Animus room. So it's like, okay, well, you're not in the Animus room. You're just desynchronized. There was one time where I got close to a boundary in the world, and it was near a story section, and it was like there was like a big arch made out of like rock, and that looked normal, and the closer I got to it, there was like a tessellated wall of like tech, and it was like, this area is not available right now, and it was like, that's it. And then like one opening monologue from Desmond Miles's dad at the start, who's one of the assassins. He's been one of the only characters who's stuck around since he died. You know, they get one character to do his voice, like, you know, for like 5 minutes every 2 years. And like, that's it. It's
William
dire.
William Miles,
that's him.
This guy looks boring as fuck.
He is boring as fuck. But he's basically the main character because they killed the main character 11 years ago.
Like, we don't need a main character. You just need a game character.
The thing is, they don't have any... They tried having a game character for the modern day, and they had Layla. Hassan, I think. I didn't give a shit about any of her story at all. It was not told interestingly. There was nothing that she was doing that was interesting. It was like, oh, she was a Templar, and then she turned to assassins. Like, I don't... Why? But who are the assassins anymore? It's still just Rebecca and Sean and William Miles, and that's it.
Desmond Miles is voiced by Q from Star Trek The Next Generation.
I think he is, yeah.
John DeLancey?
Yeah, he is. He's also a Breaking Bad.
Yeah, he's his Kristen Ritter's father.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm back in on this guy.
He's only really there in Assassin's Creed 3. And he gives a good thing in that. Back when they were doing something with the story. Back when the world was going to end in 2012.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, this game has none of that. And honestly, good. I gave up on it when they kept trying to eke it out into something. But it's been a shadow of its former self for a long, long time. Ever since Black Flag, I was like, oh, play as a nameless Abstergo employee and walk around an office and like get passwords from computers. And then the end of that game is you go down to the server and there was one, I think it was Juno, there was one ancient person who Desmond uploaded to the internet when he sacrificed himself to stop the end of the world in 2012, and she assimilated herself into the internet, and she's been living in Abstergo's servers for the last year until this one nameless Abstergo employee came down to the server room.
It's no longer John DeLancey. They've changed it since Valhalla.
What? What do you mean? What do you mean he's too expensive and he doesn't care anymore because it's shit? What?
I'm sure... Look.
They weren't doing anything with him.
He's done some shit.
They've been treading water for nothing. For no reason. They don't know what to do. Do something or do nothing. It's the Assassin's Creed problem. They don't know what to do with the franchise anymore. They have no idea what to do with it.
It is funny how we both agree and yet come from the opposite ends of the spectrum, which is they should go back to doing what they were doing, and I'm saying they should have never have done the modern day stuff to begin with.
Yeah, I mean,
because like you complaining about Layla, whatever her name is,
yeah,
is my exact same argument, but just about Desmond Miles. Like, oh, like does, like not a character, not doing anything, not likable. Like, that's just Desmond Miles to me. I hated
Desmond Miles
as a character.
People have been saying that the whole time, and that's fair enough. But yeah. You know why it was okay by me? Because they were at least doing something with it. It was interesting. They had to go through Ezio's memories to find where
they really swung for something.
They swung for something more than they ever have since, you know? Am I wrong?
No, this is what I'm saying. This is my argument against me. Like, they were swinging for something.
Yeah. Anyway, the new game's fun. And this, you know, it's a return to, like, intricate assassinations where, like, you have to, like, really find a way, a new way in, and then they give you this, like, cinematic way to take it down if you if you infiltrate the right way, which is very rewarding. It makes you feel like you've done your job as an assassin, you know? And they also do this thing, instead of having like a journal tab, you know, where like Breath of the Wild or any fucking game or RPG where they give you a list of all the quests you have or have heard of or haven't done yet. In this, they give you a pretty typical Assassin's Creed thing, which is the investigation board, where they show you like your targets and all of that. But that also doubles as your like quest markers. And so it's like, oh, I heard from this bureau that our next target is related to this person at the docks. And so it draws those links from that bureau to that to whatever. And that's where you set your objectives by clicking on those points of interest on the board to then go to that. And then as you go to it again, it is like, oh, you investigated that, that blacks out, but it introduces a new clue there. You can click on each of those nodes and see what the new information you got for those or from those was. And then it all funnels into the like head of the order. And it's actually a really organic way of tracking your quests, keeping up to date with information, seeing why what you did that last time had an effect where on what. It's actually really good. I really enjoy it as a way of keeping track of all the moving parts. The story's fine. It's kind of nothing, but the way it unfolds in that system of the journal tab, or the investigation tab rather, is quite engaging. But yeah, that's about it. That's all I got to say about it. I missed it and I'm glad it's back, but also I don't think Assassin's Creed is really long for this world in a way that I'm going to enjoy. I don't think it's going to be like this. I do not think this is the start of the next era of Assassin's Creed. I think this is an echo of the past that we are about to say goodbye to.
Yeah, right. It's fascinating. I don't really know what their friend looks like going forward, because like
they don't either.
No, I know, but like, as in, like, I don't mean just mechanically or structurally. I mean, like, I don't know what clicks for that franchise, because they are games of 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That don't, like, they don't, like, that style of game doesn't really exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Ubisoft is obviously an incredibly different company now. I don't really know how that's... But, like, they always do well, and people are excited about them, and that franchise has, like, such a... It has such staying power just by name alone.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, like, a lot of really incredible work and art goes into it, you know, just based on the environment alone.
Yeah.
You know, like...
And realizing a whole nation or... country or civilization in a certain time period as accurately as possible. Like, that's a whole undertaking.
Yeah, and it's always been a high point for the franchise.
Mm-hmm. It's probably the only thing that's kept it going, really. That's the thing that's stayed consistent. That's the thing that's probably kept enough people coming back and kept it interesting all this time.
Yeah, and I do wonder... Like, you know, stuff like, you know, them adding that, like, education mode that they've done in the past and doing things like, you know, like when the Church of Notre Dame burned down.
Yeah.
Like Ubisoft having the most realistic replica of what it was like.
To like have all the 3D scans. Yeah.
And so them using those as a part of the restoration effort was fascinating. I do wonder how... much some of that stuff is like, and I don't mean this in a cynical way. I mean this in a like you should be using this when you have the ability to use this, like grant incentives.
Yeah, yeah, I want to know too.
Because like, why the hell wouldn't you?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean that's what people do in Melbourne with indie games, right? If you can get an angle for Screen Victoria or your other state. Body, then sick.
That's what
right,
you do.
Go for it.
It makes complete sense. So yeah, like I do wonder how much of that stuff has existed for that, and maybe doesn't exist at the moment, or if that's ever affected where they've set a game, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. And I honestly don't mind either way. You're right. Like it's a totally fine thing. Incentivize that. That's great.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my run on it. I do aim to finish it. I'll let you know if I have any interesting thoughts about it when I do finish it at the time. But yeah, we'll leave it at that for now. Jeremy, before we wrap up, because we'll just take a couple, just like one or two more minutes here before we end up the show. I'd love to know what like a handful of the things you are looking forward to seeing at South by Southwest this week are.
Yeah, well, like there's a couple games that I'm looking forward to seeing. The one that sticks out to me immediately off the top of my head is Dead Static Drive is going to be here.
Oh, excellent! Because I didn't see them at PAX.
Yeah, based on just tweets, my understanding is that they were moving into a new office space, and I think they got flooded or something, and so they suddenly. But like they weren't. I don't think they were ever on the agenda of actually law. I think because. They knew they were going to be at South by Southwest, and so they're like, well, let's just Let's just focus on that a little bit.
And the game's getting pretty close to release, isn't it?
Yes.
Relatively.
Yeah, like closer than it's ever been, let's say that. Let me just have a quick look at my schedule for stuff that I'm going to... Like, there's a lot of interesting talks that are going to... that are sort of happening around... Milli Vanilli apparently are going to be around. Which is hilarious, that Milli Vanilli. You know Milli Vanilli, right?
No.
They're a pop group, a pop duo from the, like, 80s or 90s.
Oh.
That got infamously caught lip syncing all of their albums.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Look, like I said, the Stray Gods thing, Nicole Kidman's point, I might see if I can bump it to her.
No chance.
Yeah, exchange business cards, you know how it is. Do a little bit of networking. Yeah, like, it's hard because some of the events are just like, I'm just going to go to this talk because that sounds interesting, or like, I'm going to go to the Sydney Robotics Industry Meetup or something because I want to know what the hell that is. I'm also planning on going to as many of the awful things as I can. There's a lot of really terrible, like, you know, blockchain in gaming and, you know, like, you know, Web3 for women sort of things. And I'm just like, I need doing because it is just so fascinating at all times that they are here in presence. There's a lot of AI talks this year. Well, this year, that's if there's ever been one. A lot of AI talks in conference space. And because I have the all access, I can go to any talk that's not even or anything like that related. Yeah. I can go to the what's it called? The, like, Disruptors lunch or something.
You could go disrupt the disruptors.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I have no idea what I'm going to get out of this. I have a rough plan for content, but, like, I have no idea what I'm going to actually witness while I'm here, because it's a long week.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a lot of fucking shit.
It's kind of drawn out, too. Spread.
And, of course, at the end of the week, IEM, Intel Extreme Masters and the esports event that has not been in Australia for a little bit is coming back and is happening this weekend. So I'll be there as well.
Nice.
See some esports. See the first, yeah, the first professional event featuring Counter-Strike 2.
Yeah, nice. Sweet. Well, thanks for going and representing Minimap. I don't know what we do without you, Jeremy.
I'm here.
But yeah, that's gonna do it for us for this week. Jeremy's gonna go watch that movie that might never see the light of day. But thank you so much for watching and listening, everyone. And if you made it to the end of the episode, thank you for somehow managing to do that with us. That's the end of the episode. Like I said before, you can follow the Minimap accounts on all of the social platforms to find out when we post something. The account's name is @MinimapAU. You can follow us individually as well. Jeremy, where can they follow you?
At @ObiWanJez. And on Blue Sky, I'm Jeremy@Minimap.com.au.
Yeah, what's up with that, huh? Is this the death of ObiWanJez?
No, it's not. It's just custom domains are neat. I might just make it like ObiWanJez@Minimap.com.au if I want.
Yeah.
But like I needed to make that, but also something's gone wrong. Like the DNS settings on that thing, and so the Minimap account currently is minimap@minimap.com.au.
Oh no!
Which, like, I can make it just minimap.com.au as the name, but the settings aren't quite working, so I need to. Anyway, that's a Blue Sky problem, not on my problem.
Yeah, exactly. You can follow me on Twitter @KJPalmer_24 or Blue Sky @KJPalmer. You can also head to minimap.com.au for everything else Minimap related, including our other podcasts, including articles that we've published, like Jeremy's previews of Go-Go Town and Into the Dead, Our Darkest Days. Those both came out from PAX. All of our video coverage from PAX is on the website. So that's Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, Like a Dragon, Guide and the Man Who Erased His Name, and Super Mario Wonder previews. All video previews, all live on the website, all on YouTube. Thank you so much for the support on those this week on that new format. It's been excellent. We'll probably do more of that again at future events, I imagine. And thank you so much. For those of you who are live with us on Twitch, I don't know if we'll keep going after this because Jeremy's got to go, but we'll figure it out after we close out the show. If you're watching or listening to us later, make sure to give us those oh-so-tasty 5-star ratings. It helps out a lot. And consider joining us next week for the live show. It will be a bit less shambolic. Lastly, if you wanted to support us on Patreon, if you want to help keep the mics and lights on, you can do that by heading on over to patreon.com/minimapau, and for $5 Australian dollary dues, you'll get 24 hours of early access for all episodes of the Minimapcast, as well as some more benefits, all while helping us out greatly. Now let's see if I can figure out how to outro the show while also talking, while also pressing buttons, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to us. Look forward to us being back here next week with Mario and Spider-Man, and we'll see you then.